Praise his wonderful name. Fill me up, Lord. All I want is you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Such beautiful songs. Inspiring, touching. We're here in the presence of the Lord to give what belongs to him. And it is our undivided attention of service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Songwriter said, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed our sins away. Father God, we thank you one more time for your eternal blessings that you have afforded us. We thank you, Lord, for the power that has executed this great salvation that we have received from you. We worship you. We lift you up. We magnify you. God, we recognize that without you, we are nothing. Empty. Lord Jesus, no hope. Miserable. Restless. Anxious. God Almighty, but with you, we have an eternal peace that passeth all understanding. God, as we come before you this morning, we are praying that you will open our minds, open our heart, our spirit to receive from you. Lord, may your precious presence grace us this afternoon. Lord Jesus, I'm praying this day for those on the other side that's listening to this message this morning, this service. We're praying, God, for inspiration. We're praying that every eyes will be opened, Lord God Almighty, to hear what you would have to share with us this very moment. Lord God Almighty, we pray for inspiration, for an unction that comes from you. Anoint, Lord God Almighty, this lump of clay, Labakoto Sandabahashaya, that your name may be glorified, because that's all we want, Lord, is for you to be glorified, for your name to be exalted, to be lifted up. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now. We arrest every force of darkness in the name of Jesus. My God Almighty, every powers of darkness that will bring an act of opposition against the church. Lord Jesus, you are victorious. Lord God Almighty, you never lost a battle. Hallelujah. And so, God, we rejoice that everything, Lord God, is in your hands, and we bless your holy name in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome, everyone, to our service here at Faith Deliverance International Ministries in the heart of Woodbridge, Ontario. We're delighted this morning just to have another opportunity to share with this dying world the message of Jesus Christ, the only hope for a world that is about to be set on fire. The only hope for a world that is about to be destroyed. We give God thanks this afternoon or this morning for the gift of life, giving him thanks for what he's doing in the midst of us. Certainly the church has always experienced opposition, but opposition, when it comes, it's a stepping stone into the wonders and the miracle working power of the Lord himself. And so we're not too concerned about what kind of opposition we face in these last and closing days. We serve the one who is victorious. We serve the one who is the reigning king. Everything is about to come to an end, but the real life begins after this miserable world is destroyed. After we have died, scripture tells us next comes the judgment, and we are just simply preparing for life. Everything that is happening now in this realm is preparing us for the life to come. I want us this morning to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. And I will be reading from verse 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 1. Scripture says, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4 tells us, this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. Far greater, superior to the angels. Hebrews chapter 2. So, verse 1, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. Praise the name of the Lord. The book of Hebrews. The writer to the book of Hebrews speaks to us, writes about better things. He brings to us a certain clarity as it pertains to the work of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews, chapter 1, he begins by proving to us that Christ is superior to the angels. He's superior to the prophets. Christ, the Bible said that long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways, in various times, in various ways, to our ancestors through the prophets. The prophets were God's divine mouthpiece, which God would give them a certain revelation or message to deliver to his people. But what the prophets spoke, they simply spoke what was given to them. But in this last days, these final days, the writer tells us that the message that we receive from God now has come, spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is the final message from God to humanity. Anything that God wants to relate to this world is spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is far superior to the angels, far superior to the prophets of old. He is the Son of God. In the Gospel of John, John told us that he is revealed from the bosom of the Father, and he's full of grace and truth. In the book of John, John goes on to tell us, as I elaborate on the revelation of Jesus Christ, that what he has to say to us comes from the heart of God. For Jesus came into this world to reveal to us who God is. He came into this world to reveal the very character of God. That's why the message of Jesus is so important for the believer, so important for humanity. Because if any man that is going to attempt to please God, he has first to deal with what Jesus has to say. That's why Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He said in his words that the words that I'm speaking to you are not my own, but these are what have been given to me from the Father. He came into this world to reveal the heart of God to humanity. For he was the Word, John said, that became flesh. And the Word, hallelujah, which is God manifested in flesh. That's why the revelation of Jesus Christ is so important. Because it is the final word to this lost and dying world. The book of Hebrews is a book of warnings. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you read it right, true, it tells us of Christ being superior to the angels. And in chapter 2, it opens up with a statement, a warning, that since seeing that Christ is more superior to the angels, that we should not neglect so great a salvation that has been executed by Jesus Christ. What is the writer saying to us? In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it warns us that we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. He's writing to believers. He's writing to those who have accepted the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's writing to those who have accepted that Jesus is the Messiah, which was prophesied by the prophets. He said, we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. So the writer wants us to understand that every man who have accepted the message of Jesus Christ stands in danger if he neglects to listen the truth of that which was spoken by Jesus Christ himself. He said, we must listen carefully to the truth we have heard, or we stand in danger of drifting away from it. There's a danger. He goes on to say, for the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. Now, if Christ is more superior to the angels, and every message delivered through angels, message that were given by God to deliver through his angels, has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. How much more the message that his son is speaking in this time. Hello, brothers and sisters. It is time, high time, that we are awakened and understand the danger that lies squarely at our feet. That if we neglect to listen carefully to the truth that we have heard, we will drift away. The writer said, what makes us think, church, why do we think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? What is the ground on which we stand that we believe that if we neglect the work, this great salvation that Jesus had orchestrated for every man that believed, where are we going to stand? How will we stand in that great day if we fail to take heed to that which was spoken by the Son, Jesus Christ? It is this warning that the writer to the Hebrews writes to the church, that there's a great danger to the man who has answered the call of Jesus Christ. not to neglect the great salvation which Christ had orchestrated for everyone that believe. For all humanity, there's an open door for everyone that believes. What is the work of Christ? The work of Christ consists in two parts. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come believing in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. That's the work on earth. We believe that he was born of a virgin, came into this world as the revelation of God, as Emmanuel, God with us. Not only was he born, but we accept the fact that he became the substitute for our sins. John the Baptist proclaimed that, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of this world." We know, my God Almighty, that mankind needed a perfect sacrifice to be the substitute for the sin condition that prevailed in the heart of mankind. And so, the work of Christ begins on earth. It begins with him being born of a woman, came into this world as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of this world. He proceeds in dying on the execution stake, in the shedding of blood, which grants remission of sin. It is this work on earth that after having shed his blood and dying on the cross, that he was buried, but he rose from the dead triumphantly. It is easy for us, brothers and sisters, to accept this doctrine of the work that the Lord himself had performed on earth. But not only did he perform a work on earth, because that was the foundation of his work here for humanity, but he also performed a great work in heaven. Because the Bible tells us that when he had effected the cleansing of sin that's here on earth, that he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high in heaven. Why? Hallelujah. To continue his work in heaven. You see, the work here on earth was the foundation or the beginning of the complete work of Jesus Christ. The work on earth finds its perfection and glory in the work in heaven. Because the cleansing of sins as something effected by Christ before he went to heaven is the foundation of all the work. Everything that God has to speak to us in Christ begins here. Sin must be cleansed away. This is the root thought of redemption. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand that the only source of help and strength to the church is the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is his heavenly glory and his saving power. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand that we cannot stand still just to understand the work here on earth and refuse to go on to dwell on the glory of the work that is performed in heaven. There is a warning for the church. There is a danger in every man who receives the gospel of Jesus Christ. John tells us that the revelation of God himself through Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he came to reveal the heart of God to humanity. That's why John tells us that he was full of grace and truth. we stand at a point in the history of humanity concerning the church, where we have been warned of the latter day experience, when many false prophets will arise and many will have itching ears to give their ears to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils, doctrines of men. And many will be deceived in this last and closing days. It is this that we are exhorted by the writer to the Hebrews to stand firm and to listen to that which was given to us. He writes to us. He said, take heed. Make sure that we listen carefully to the truth we have heard. Because the danger in not listening is that we will drift away from it. Brothers and sisters, I don't care how much church you attend. If you're not listening carefully to the truth, you will drift away. I don't care about the title that's on your life. The writer to the Hebrews is telling us that if we neglect to listen carefully to the truth that was delivered to us, we will drift away. What is the truth? Well, in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and 20, Jesus Christ, before he ascended on high, he spoke to the disciples he had called. He said, teach these new disciples, those you would win for this kingdom. Make sure that you teach them to obey all the commands I have given you. In other words, if we want to understand what was given, what was preached to us, what we have heard from the beginning, we got to know what God gave to his disciples. We have to know what was the message and the commandments of Jesus Christ to his disciples. He said, make sure that you teach new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we read after the ascension of Jesus, gone up to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. We read in the book of Acts chapter 2 that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? Everything that Jesus had commanded them. Everything that the Son had spoken. What did the Son say? The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. I came into this world not to do my own will, but to perform the will of him that had sent me. The words that I'm speaking to you, they are not my own. They belong to God. What I hear is what I say. So, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Oh, God Almighty. Why? So they may not drift away. So they will stand firm in the hour of testing. And the Bible said, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Hello. This is what the writer to the Hebrews said. That we ought to pay careful attention, to listen carefully to what was delivered to us, what we heard from Jesus, the Son, which is speaking to us. And we see very clearly in the first church, or the beginning of the church, that because they paid careful attention and practiced what was delivered to them, that a great sense of awe was over all the church. It makes me wonder what's missing in our assemblies, what's missing in our lives. It is the neglect of listening carefully to what Jesus has to say. Bible said they sold all their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. An unselfish spirit. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We are standing at a moment in time where the message of Jesus has been changed to represent what men want to hear. See, in these last and closing days, what we want to hear is a message of grace without truth. Hello, somebody. But we have to go back to what John wrote about. John said he's full of grace, halakushabaya, and truth. Grace without truth can have no effect on the sin condition of humanity. And truth without grace will render us hopeless. We have to accept the message of grace married with the truth that comes from God. You see, the grace of God gives us the ability to handle or to deal with the truth of God. If it were the truth of God that comes to us solely, then man would stand in condemnation. But he sends his grace, my God, that we are no longer under condemnation. And his truth that delivers us and sets us free. Because we got to understand, brothers and sisters, it is the grace of God that delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Because remember that when Moses, my God Almighty, when he came out of the palace and saw, my God, an Egyptian taskmaster handling his brother in a very mean and unkind way, that Moses smote the Egyptian taskmaster and hid him under the sand. But the scripture was careful to tell us that Moses looked here and there and saw no man, and he smote the Egyptian taskmaster and he died, hid him under the sand. But the next day when he came out, he saw two of his brothers fighting, arguing, a quarrel amongst themselves. And Moses stood up, my God Almighty, and they took offense to what Moses had to say. Who made you a judge or a ruler over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? Moses recognized that these were not the same individuals from the previous day. How is it that they knew about what had transpired? When I saw no man, Moses recognized that the brothers, they had the sin of evil speech on their tongue. The whole camp knew about what had happened. It was not that Israel was ready for deliverance based on a right standing with God. But it was a measure of grace that God gave them as he remembered the covenant with Abraham. And so we understand that grace brought them out of bondage. But when they came out of bondage, going through the wilderness experience, you see, brothers and sisters, we have to understand that grace alone will not grant us salvation. But when he brought them out of bondage, he gave them his laws and said, brothers, is my Israelite nation's children and the descendants of Abraham, you came out of Egypt to worship me, but I've got to give you my laws now that you may understand how to approach me in worship. So he gave them the truth. So is it with us as Christians. The words that Jesus speaks to us, they are final. They are the truth of God. Brothers and sisters, the writer asks a very profound question. How shall we escape if we neglect? If we neglect so great a salvation, how? What makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and delivered to us by those who heard him speak? How can we escape? See, brothers and sisters, it is very subtle. That we have been afforded the grace of God. Bible tells us that the grace of God had appeared, came into this world, and teaching us to deny ungodliness. That's the truth. It teaches us, it leads us into truth. The gospel does not, as many believe, lessen the severity of God's punishment, but it increases our danger. It does not diminish, but will intensify the punishment in those who neglect it. Brothers and sisters, the message of Jesus, when rejected, intensifies the punishment. That's why those who have received the gospel of Jesus Christ must pay careful attention to what Jesus has to say. It is this lukewarm attitude, this drifting away back into this worldly condition, this compromising of truth that will allow us to be in danger to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some believe that is only open sin or the sin condition that's prevalent in this world that will be punished. But brothers and sisters, not taking heed to what the Son of God has to say, the final authority, the word that's spoken from God to us through his Son, to neglect it is to fall in judgment. Not taking earnest heed, just drifting away unconsciously with the current of worldliness and half-hearted religion. Brothers and sisters, don't you see the danger the church is in? Malakusanda. Don't you see the danger we are in this very present moment? Half-hearted religion. A religion that's filled with the doctrine of men. A religion that's set on a cycle, my God, and an agenda and a program of men. Maha Kota Shamba. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? To be ignorant of the work of Jesus Christ is to stand in danger at his coming and at his very appearing. Church, it's time we wake up to understand this great salvation we have received. My God Almighty, it's a blood covenant. It's a blood that was shed on Calvary. Blood was poured out upon the execution stake. What we call the cross. And the fancy things we talk about the cross and the Mount Calvary, where he died, where he was crucified. And Mount Calvary, where he was pronounced, my God Almighty, the judgment. What was the work? He came into this world. The Bible said he became flesh to deal with the sin condition. Why? The taste of death so that you and I can live and have life more abundantly. Why? To deal with the shame and the curse of the law. That's why he came into this world. Why, my God Almighty? To give us hope to a generation, my God, to his creation, all humanity, which was lost and hopeless. He came into this world. That's the message of Jesus Christ and the work here on earth. When you look on the condition of our assemblies, and I'm not preaching about various assemblies scattered across, I'm talking even here in Faith Deliverance International Ministry. When you look on the condition of the assemblies, and you contrast it to the church in the beginning, where is the awe and the fear that's sitting on the assembly of God? Mandakoshaya, my God Almighty. Where is the reverence for the authority of God in the church of the living God? Where is the reverence to the work he has performed in his assembly? Every man is drifting. Drifting into a worldly condition, drifting into his own understanding of what Jesus says. My God, drifting, my God Almighty, into a form of godliness and denying the very power, my God, that comes with the message of Jesus Christ. Drifting, standing still at the knowledge, my God Almighty, and the doctrine of the substitution, my God Almighty, where Jesus became the sacrifice for our sin, and failing to move on to a more complete understanding of the revelation of Jesus, him being seated at the right hand of God as our high priest, drifting, refusing to continue or to listen carefully to that which was delivered to us. Neglecting to give the great salvation, that supremacy. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we can believe this very cold, half-hearted gospel that's been preached today. But when we search the scriptures, if Jesus came into this world
to reveal to us the heart of God and to reveal to us the character that God desires from his creation. When he came into this world, he gave, as the Son of Man, supremacy to what his Father had to say. He said, I say nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. The work that I perform is the work of him that sent me. Supremacy. He gave God supremacy to his entire being. Come on, somebody. How much more us who have received this great salvation neglect to give God supremacy over our being? Carried away with our worldly condition. Carried away, my God, with our business adventures. Carried away with what we call family, my God Almighty, and the ties to family. And some things, my God, I'm not preaching against family, but some things are just simply excuses. And there's a sound from heaven. There's a voice that's speaking. Somebody said they haven't heard anything. You go look in your Bible. Whatever Jesus said, that's the final authority, my God Almighty, hallelujah, to humanity. What do you mean? He's not governing this world by dreams. He's not governing this world by different forms, my God Almighty, hallelujah, of different things. Whatever we receive has to tie in with what Jesus says. Hello, Cornelius. I hear your prayers. They have come up to me as a memorial. But I've already spoken to this world. Hallelujah. Even though an angel went to Cornelius. He said, Cornelius, my God Almighty, there's a principle in place. Your salvation cannot come to you by me in a dream. So send for Peter at Joppa. And tell him, my God Almighty, when he comes down here, he's going to tell you what to do so that you can be included in the fold. We have, my God, at this time, many dreamers. Many people trying to find a way around God. But Cornelius, your good prayers can't save you. You got to hear what Peter has to say. You got to hear the preached word. What was delivered to the apostles, my God Almighty. Got to be delivered to your conscience to set you free. Peter came down, preached to Cornelius, and the Holy Ghost sat upon him. He began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost granted him utterance. Not only him, but his entire household. How can we escape, Church of the Living God, that we treat our salvation so lightly? How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What does the blood of Jesus Christ means to you? What does the shedding of his blood means to you? There's some folks, all they want, my God, is a social club in the church. My God Almighty, throw me on the outside. But I got to preach Jesus and him crucified. I got to tell you what he says. I have nothing else save what Jesus says. Hallelujah. I don't come with the doctrine of men and the opinions of men. The word of the angel stood firm. And every act of violation was severely judged. How much more what Jesus said? He said, no man come to the Father but by me. He said, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Unless you believe what I have to say, you're going to die. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to God. I'm the truth of God revealed to this world. Unless you believe what I have to say, you're going to die in your sin. Somebody say, this kind of message is too harsh. Hamakoshamba. My God Almighty, I'd rather say what the words of Jesus than say the words of another man. My God Almighty, I want to say the words of him that is superior to angels. I want to say the words of him that's superior to the prophets. You see, the prophets were inspired by God. In prayer and meditation upon God, God would overshadow them with the Holy Ghost. Wasn't indwelling. And they would prophesy. It's external. Jesus now is the Word of God. John said he came out of the bosom of the Father. Internal. He is acquainted with everything that the Father knows. He knows it. My God Almighty. Everything that's in the heart of God is revealed in him. Why? My God Almighty. Why Jesus? Because God is the light in which no man can approach. We couldn't touch him. We couldn't go to him. No man can look upon him. My God Almighty. If you see his face, you die. But Jesus came. And he came with a word for humanity. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Akashamba. Hear what he says. Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Those who hear the words of the Son. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. You know which house fall? It's the house that was built on the sand. The house that neglect to hear or to listen carefully, to pay attention to what the Son was saying. That house, when the rain came, when the wind blew upon it, my God Almighty, the sand, because the house stands still on the sand, drifting away. My God Almighty, everything came tearing down. Fell apart. Brothers and sisters, you see, this great salvation that we have received, when the Israelites were in bondage, they were in bondage to Pharaoh, but the only danger was their bodies. Pharaoh could only destroy their bodies. But the bondage of sin destroys both body and soul. So here we understand that God came into this world to deal with the sin condition. Let's look further into Hebrews chapter 2. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great deliverance? The deliverance from the sin condition. Twofold. Which was first declared by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. While God also bore witness to it with various signs, wonders and miracles, and with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which he distributed as he chose. Let me turn to the New Living Translation. God and furthermore, verse 5 of chapter 2, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scripture says, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? or a son of man that you should care for him? Brothers and sisters, here the writer wants us to understand our position in Christ. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? As man, you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him. You see, brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that we are in a covenanted relationship with God. And God takes note of his covenant. It was the covenant that he had with Abraham, as testified in the book of Genesis 15, 16, and 17. We read much more about the covenant that God performed with Abraham. Showed up as the El Shaddai. It was that covenant that God remembered when he visited Moses on the backside of the desert to release God's people from the bondage that they were in Egypt. Bible said, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him, or that you should visit him? It is important that we understand, brothers and sisters, that the shedding of blood, that Christ, when he died on Calvary, and we believed in the message on his and his sacrificial death and the resurrection, that we have now been included in a covenant with him. God scrutinizes, he looks to visit. The Bible speaks about the son of man that thou visitest him, that you care for him. He visits with the intention to deposit, to put something. God carefully watches over us to provide for us as we are in need. He scrutinizes to see what's lacking in our lives. It is the covenant that God performed with Abraham that said, in thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And when we trace now the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we recognize that he's of the seed of Abraham. What does this mean? We accept the message of Jesus Christ. God deposits something in us. He's mindful of us. God remembers at every step of our journey the promises that relates to the covenant that we have with him. That's why scripture said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Man is the crowning glory of God's creation. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that when God calls us to this great and marvelous kingdom. He demands everything, every fiber of our being must be given to him. Every area of our lives must be consecrated to him. Read it. He performed his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with Israel in Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's look at it. Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles and let's read it. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's going to put it upon the fleshy tables of our heart. And we have received, my God Almighty, when we receive the Holy Ghost, it is God, it is the truth of God, my God Almighty, being deposited in us. It is God in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And so we understand, brothers and sisters, that with the work that Christ has done in us, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Stay with me. Let's pick up from verse 3. But in those sacrifices, this was the covenant that was made, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And the continued sacrifice of turtle doves, of the bullocks, every time they sacrifice, there was a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's not possible. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Come on, somebody. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. That's the new covenant. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How great a salvation. How great a work that Jesus Christ came into this world to perform. and every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. It covered them. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever here on earth, he was ascended on high, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, we could not enter the Holy of Holies. We simply could just bring our sacrifice, my God Almighty, hallelujah, to the priests, and they would have to take it up on our behalf. But now, my God Almighty, hallelujah, he came into this world, my God Almighty, hallelujah, offered his life as a sacrifice once and for all. Now, because of that, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, saints of the living God. I want us to understand how important the blood of Jesus is. It is not something for us, my God Almighty, to play around with. It is not something for us to treat lightly. The blood of the covenant, my God, stands firm. It is going to testify against those who neglect so great a salvation that is granted to us. Now, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Come on, saints of the living God. What is he saying here? He's talking now about the great work which is being effected on us in heaven right now as Jesus Christ being our high priest. How great a work, how great a salvation, my God Almighty, which was granted to us. How can we escape if we neglect it? Drifting away. Cold-hearted to the things of God. Numb to the very move of God. Numb to the desire that God and the demand that God has placed on our lives. Numb, my God Almighty, to the ministry of Jesus. Numb to this kingdom experience. My God Almighty, we become so selfish. All we want, all that we have, all that we know of Jesus is what we can get of him. God knows a whole lot of us have a whole lot of gifts on our way to a devil's hell. We're gluttonous, greedy. The experience we have of Jesus has nothing to do with the message of Jesus. He has become the Santa Claus of the town, the Santa Claus of the churches. He has become the gift giver. My God Almighty, a lot of folks, my God, in the church, my God Almighty, all they want is what they can get from God. Preachers preaching a fish and bread ministry and leaving out the hearty and the weighty matters of the ministry of Jesus. How can you neglect? Don't you know this gospel of Jesus Christ exposes you to a coming danger if you fail, my God, to continue in the things that you have heard, continue in the things that was delivered to us by the apostles. the doctrines of the apostles, which was handed down to the church, the things that they heard from Jesus Christ, the things that Jesus told them and no man else. He said to them, unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But he wouldn't tell that to the crowd. He brought them inside, my God Almighty, and revealed to them the mysteries of the kingdom. That is what was given to the church. He said, upon this rock, I build my church. What was the rock, my God? It was the revelation that Peter had received. What was the revelation? It was a mystery that was revealed to him in the presence of Jesus Christ. That Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, my God Almighty, flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. What you going to do with the mystery that was revealed to you? What do you have to say about Jesus? Is he your Santa Claus? What does his blood mean to you? What does the words that left his lips while he was here? You read them in the scriptures. How has his words challenged you? Kashamba. Are we going to stand and fall away, neglect this truth, and drift away like a current that's formed in the rivers or the streams that carry any floating object to an endless end? Stand still at the revelation of Jesus and never caught the current that comes with the revelation of Jesus. It's a warning. How can we escape? How can we be so cold? How can we be so silent when it comes to the things of Jesus Christ? Do we know what he has said to us? What's written of him? We live in a time when some folks just enjoy being preached to. We never take up the words of the living God to read what he has to say. That's why we have a church that's not transformed. You can tell of those who are drifting, those who have neglected what was delivered to them. They stand still at the revelation of Jesus Christ and they never grow. They understand the doctrine of substitution, but when it comes to the complete work of Jesus Christ, they're clueless. How can we escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Brothers and sisters, we have to understand that the call of God demands perseverance. This doctrine of once saved, always saved. You better understand that this book teaches about the danger of falling away. This book teaches about the danger of neglecting what was delivered to us. It demands every believer to pay careful attention to the things that we have heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Written word. The preach word as it's preached from the revelation of scriptures. Not opinion. Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Kata mashamba. Mama kusata hasaya. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We have folks sitting down in some cold pews. Don't even know what the ministry of Jesus is to you. Don't even understand the freedom you have in Christ. Bound up in some padded pews. My God Almighty, not challenged by the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sitting in the church of the living God with one eye cast on the outside. My God Almighty, attached to the things of this world. And there's coldness on your feet. It's grabbing, mind, hallelujah, grabbing to the very being, every fiber of your being. My God Almighty, is about to be consumed. But I want to bring back your attention to what was delivered to us. The doctrine of the apostle that Jesus Christ, my God, what they preached was Jesus and him being risen from the dead. Hallelujah. For if he was not risen, if the resurrection of Christ was not real, then the message of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, means nothing to a dying world. But thank God that we know that he was risen from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he told his church that it was good for him to go. My God Almighty. For when he goes, my God Almighty, he'll send to us the comforter, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he comes, he shall teach us, my God, all things, for he will lead us into truth. Come on, saints of the living God. Hallelujah. That's the power of the church. That's why when the Holy Ghost fell on the apostles and the 120 believers on the day of Pentecost, it had such a supernatural effect upon the church. My God Almighty, we dwell now in a time when people don't want to be ruled by the governing power of the Holy Ghost. We dwell in a time when men want to set up their own governance over themselves in the church. I want to let you to understand that that kind of church is not the church of the living God. I want you to understand that when you begin to find your own way to God, you have walked out of salvation, out of the great work, into a form of religion that's married to idolatry. But when we stay focused upon him, my God, and to listen to what he has said to us, then we understand the great work of salvation. How is Faith Deliverance International Ministry going to escape if we neglect the truth of the message of Jesus Christ? How do we expect to give a half-hearted measure to Jesus and be found in the rapture when he comes? How, my God Almighty, hallelujah, are we going to expect that we're going to be like him if we never listen to what he says here to be transformed from now, that when he comes, he will find faith? Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Korabashamba kosaya. Namakuta bahasataya. My God Almighty, lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. Shamba kosa, hallelujah. Somebody is sensing, my God Almighty, this wrath that's coming. And you want to escape. I want to point you to the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lift your hands where you are. All you have to do is to believe on him, my God. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He will give you the gift of life. He will give you the Holy Ghost, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. I don't care where you are right now. If you have a focus upon him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of this world, my God, and you begin to receive him in your heart. Hallelujah. You begin to repent of your sins, my God Almighty, and ask him to take up residence in your heart. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Be positive to God, and he will be positive to you. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw near to you. Lift your hands
as you feel the power of God saturating your innermost being, as you feel the anointing of God, hallelujah, moving over your conscience right now, hallelujah, moving up on your heart right now. You feel, my God, the pricking words of God, hallelujah, tugging at your heart. My God, I want to let you know that's the love of God that you're feeling. It's not his wrath. It is love that you're feeling. My God, bow your knees and welcome him, my God, into your heart. Bow your heart. Let him remove that stone of heart right now and give you a heart of flesh. Let him write upon the tablets of your heart, my God Almighty, his laws even now, and fill it with the Holy Ghost and power. Open your mouth and begin to bless him. Open your mouth and begin to honor him, my God, and receive him in your heart. My God, I speak to your mind. I speak to your heart even now. Hallelujah. The Lord is doing something marvelous in your midst right now, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. As you draw near in repentance, my God Almighty, as you look over your life, you recognize that you were drifting away. You were cold, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. Drifting away in the worldly condition of this life. But now, my God, you're pricked. You're awakened by the word of truth, my God Almighty. You come crying, my God, godly sorrow that leads to repentance. My God, you come, my God, broken in your spirit. My God, he comes to you. He comes to anoint you. He comes, my God, to tell you that you are his own, my God Almighty. He comes, my God Almighty, to anoint you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. He wants to know. He wants you to know that you can approach him with boldness. He wants you to know, my God, that he sits at the right hand of God as the priest, my God Almighty, making intercession for us, that you can come to him boldly right now. Hallelujah. How great a salvation, my God, that's effected upon humanity. How great a salvation, my God. He's sprinkling his blood upon your conscience right now, my God. Hallelujah. To give you freedom to access him right now. He's removed the veil from before your eyes, that you can cast your eyes upon him right now. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold his wounded hands. Look to Shabbat Messiah. My God, it is a wonderful work as the priest right now that's declaring you clean. My God, declaring your conscience free. My God Almighty, like the leper that had to go back to the priest, my God, to be declared clean. You are coming to him right now, my God Almighty. Hallelujah. And he's sprinkling his blood upon your conscience right now. You come, my God, with your head lifted up as a believer. You draw nigh to him now, knowing, my God Almighty, that he stands at the right hand of God, making intercession. You are no longer under condemnation, but you can come boldly before his presence. Open your mouth and begin to acknowledge him. My God, how great a work he's doing right now. Open your mouth and receive the blood of Jesus being sprinkled upon your conscience right now. He's removing the finger of the accuser upon your conscience. Oh, Yakota Shabababasa. Okoto Rabababasata. Okoto Rakata Hoshabababasa. Okoto Rabababasata. He's removing every accusation of the opposer right now. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ is reaching you right now. It's reaching you in the lowest valley. Okoto Shakotora. Open your mouth. Receive Jesus. Okoto Shambabasia. He's removing the guilty conscience and setting you free to receive of him. Yes. Okoto Shambabasa. Somebody's anointed right now. Somebody's receiving of him right now. Open your mouth and begin to bless him. That anointing comes to deliver you right now. Come to give you freedom that you can have access to him right now. There's no veil standing between you and him. My God, when he died here, my God, the veil was rent in twain. My God Almighty, giving us access. My God, open your mouth and begin to bless him. Open your mouth, my God Almighty. He's performing his work with signs and wonders and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Makoto Shamba. It shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. Open your mouth, my God. Let that well spring up even now. Out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yobababa Hosata Baba Basaya. Yobababa Koto Shamba Basaya. Yokota baba babasa, fresh anointing. Yababa baba koto shaba babasa. Open your mind and speak as the Holy Ghost give you utterance. Grab a hold of him where you are. Grab a hold of him. He's moving by his spirit. Hallelujah. Shaka Messiah. Hallelujah. Shama Messiah. Hallelujah. Rokoto Shama Messiah. Hallelujah. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. My God Almighty, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. Crown him from your conscience. Crown him, my God, from the depths of your soul. Crown him. He's Lord to the glory of God in the highest. He's Lord over his creation. He's Lord over the universe. He's Lord. He sits upon the throne. When he has brought his firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him that sit upon the throne. Worship him, my God Almighty. His name is Jesus. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Worship. Worship to him that sit upon the throne. Worship. Maya kutasa. Mumama kumbaratikasia. Doniokota shababasia. Worship him. Worship. Worship. Bow your heart. Bow your knees. Worship. Makota sababasia. Worship. Maya kumbatasa. Worship. Makanda kasita. Worship. Masimbakosa. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. My God Almighty. Let the church worship him. 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 Worship. He'll give you, my God, a focus for these last and closing days that we're living in. He'll give you a word to carry you through. Worship. Worship. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. Lord Jesus, my God Almighty. I don't look at my own imperfection, my God Almighty, but I take refuge into the perfect work that you have completed on Calvary. Oh God, and what you're doing in the heavenly places, even right now. I know, my God, that I'm not perfect, my God, but your work is perfect. And so I worship you. He's pouring it out right now. He's pouring it up on somebody right now. Hallelujah. Lift your hands all over this place and begin to bless him. Begin to bless him. Begin to bless him. Hallelujah. Begin to bless him. Begin to bless him. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shakomosa. Hallelujah. Morabashamba kosa. Hallelujah. Makotorasata. Hallelujah. Ikotoshamba babasa. Lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Coming soon. Jesus in all his glory. Coming soon. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every eye shall behold him. Mama makosata. And those that pierce him shall see him, my God Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's coming soon. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Coming soon, Jesus in all his glory. Mama Kotosada, not just the Savior, but a reigning King, my God, the reigning King. He's coming soon. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the whole world will be a witness, my God Almighty. So be ready, my God, for he's coming soon. Hallelujah. This whole world is going to see him, my God. How can you neglect so great a salvation, my God? Hallelujah. You can't escape, my God. Hallelujah. We are called to a higher place, my God. Higher than what was required, my God, when the laws were given, my God Almighty. Higher, my God. Lift up the name of Jesus and glorify him. God bless you in the name name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us this morning. God bless you. Turn your house on fire. Turn your house on fire. Turn your environment on fire. Those who have the Holy Ghost, my God Almighty, hallelujah, filled with power. My God, living a clean, consecrated life before God. Hallelujah. Those who are around you who don't have the Holy Ghost, my God, lift your hands, my God. Look on them and tell them to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mama Kotosha, Rakata Mama Mahosata. Turn your house on fire in Jamaica, in the United States of America, in the United Kingdom. My God, turn your house on fire in Canada. Turn your house on fire. 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 Fire, Umahakosaya, turn your house, Mulaha, Yulahal, Yokuta, Baruba, Hadi, Abahosha, turn it upside down on fire, fire for Jesus, fire for him that sit upon the throne, fire for him, my God Almighty, that's coming back for a church that's blood washed. Hallelujah. God bless you, Ukata Shabba Messiah. God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.